Well, good morning. So last week I had a birthday and turned 40. Yeah, I got into my office and my kids and wife had made 40 out of Mountain Dew cans. So that was awesome. They put on the wall a bunch of list of 40 things about dad that they like. Just, there were papers all over my walls talking about stuff they love about me. And it was awesome. I get home and I walk in the door. And, if you don't know, I got 7 kids. Right? I walk in the door, and some kids jump on me. Some kids start hitting me with sticks. One kid puts a bag over my head. They shove me out the door. They're like, "We're kidnapping you." And they shove me out the door. They shove me into our van, and they're like, "Don't take the hood off." And we start driving to a they're taking me out for dinner, but they're kidnapping me. And, like, it just kept, there's kids on me, jumping on me, bag over my head. That was the night where there were storms all over the place and maybe some tornadoes around. And so I got one kid freaking out too. Like, she's like almost ready to cry. Like, "I just want to go home. We're going to die." And then other kids are laughing. I got a bag on my head driving around like, "I look normal," right? And I feel like my 40th birthday and that whole scenario is like a metaphor for our lives. Just crazy busy. We're just dealing with insane stuff all the time, so much pressure. Sometimes you feel like you're walking around with the bag over your head. Like, for me personally, you know, trying to run church and doing foster care, you know, dealing with my 7 kids and, you know, the bills we got, car payments or car repairs we're trying to deal with. Last week, our washing machine broke, so that was awesome. Now, this series is about how to hear God speak to us. Because I believe God wants to talk to you. But I would like us to write this down and keep this in mind. Major problem: we cannot hear God in the craziness of our lives. You see, it's not just me who has a crazy life. I know that we all get crazy. You have got school, and you have got work, and you have got whatever it is you're doing. Like, your life is just full of craziness. It's loud. Give me a nod if your life is ever loud. Like, it's just volume, right? It's just loud. There's stuff to do. There's always business. You got job stuff to deal with, bosses. You have home repairs to deal with. You got bills coming in. You got babies crying. Yeah. And if it isn't problems in your life, then it's like stuff just keeps coming. Like, you got Netflix, you got video games, you got trips you're going on, maybe laziness, you're dealing with sleep issues, too much or not enough. It could be good things even. There's just so much to do. It keeps coming at us all year round. I just gonna ask you a quick question, and I think I know the answer, but in the last 12 months, if you have felt overwhelmed or distracted, would you just give me a nice big, "Oh yeah"? Yeah, like, we all have felt this. This series is about hearing God speak to us. And sometimes we believe the lie that even though our life sounds like, we think God is going to be louder than that. And it's not true. It's not true. So we go on, you see, we go on with our crazy lives. We're waiting for God to speak. And I want to read to you a story today about a prophet named Elijah. Okay, he was an amazing guy, and it's going to teach us about our crazy lives and how God speaks in the middle of our craziness. Now, if you missed this, you're going to continue with your chaos and craziness, wondering why God isn't speaking to you. But if you get this today, you're going to hear the secret things of God, you're going to hear him speaking to you, and you're going to find a quiet way to hear him. If you'd open your Bibles up to 1 Kings chapter 18, page 284. Let me give you a little background. There was a guy named King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Will you say Queen Jezebel with me? There was a King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, right? She was evil. They worshiped false gods. A guy named Baal is who they worshiped. Baal, okay? And these people, these kings and queens, went around killing the good people. They went around killing people like Elijah, the prophet of God. So Elijah meets with the king at God's command, and he challenges the king's prophets of Baal to a duel. And so the 450 prophets of Baal come, and they're like, "We're going to set up an offering to Baal, and he's going to send down lightning and light it on fire." And so they try to do this in the morning, and Baal isn't listening because he's not a real god. And Elijah's like, "Keep trying." And they keep trying. They start screaming. They're cutting themselves, trying to get Baal's attention. And Elijah is all, like, hyped up. He gets arrogant. I want you to look at verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 27. This is what Elijah says to them. He says, at a noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." Right? Elijah's making fun of them because their god's not answering. And then Elijah turns around and says, "My turn, fools." He builds an altar to the true God and he pours water on it, and then more water, and then more water. And he goes, "God, hook it up." Fire comes from heaven. Boom, the whole thing is completely obliterated. The water's gone, the altar's gone, everything's gone. And Elijah says, "Kill him." So then they start chasing the 450 prophets of Baal. They kill him, they destroy them all. Let's write this down. Elijah was a powerful prophet who had done some amazing miracles directly from God. Now, he was a rock star. If anyone could hear God speaking, it was Elijah. But at this point, Elijah's life, if you didn't catch it from the music and the story, was kind of like crazy, right? I mean, the dude's calling fire down from heaven, right? He's chasing 450 guys trying to kill him. He's going, and at the end of the day, he's still got to go home and pay his bills. But then something happened. I want you to look at chapter 19. So we're just going to go to the next page. Chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Now Ahab told Jezebel, the evil people, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the God deals with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." See, the queen says, "You're a dead man, Elijah." And Elijah's like, "Whatever. You're gonna take me on now? I just took out 450 of your prophets. We're going to do this thing." So he gets in his car. He's like, got an afro. He's like, "Listen up, Queen Jezebel. You're going down." Because this, actually, that's not what happened. That's what we would expect would happen, right? Because he had just done this amazing miracle and he was all powerful. But look what actually happened. Look at verse 3. Here's what actually happened. Elijah was, say this word with me, afraid. He was afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left a servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush, and he fell asleep. The dude's scared. And he's tired. No, he is exhausted. Even doing good can exhaust you. Ever been there? I mean, he was doing miracles, right? He was God's man, and he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do, but it took energy. It was hard. Look, if doing good was easy, everybody would do it. It's not easy. My wife and I are doing foster care. I can tell you it's exhausting. Being a pastor is draining. I want you to think about what you're doing, how you're following God, and how you're trying to make strides to become more like Jesus, and what is it that you've been doing? Who have you ministered to? Like, it is difficult to do good all the time. Give me a nod if you'd agree with me on that, right? Like, let's just write this down. Doing the right thing and doing good doesn't fix all of Elijah's problems. Sometimes doing good, especially in the middle of our chaos, is just really tiring. And maybe you just put a little extra note right there. Could you write down, Elijah doesn't hear God's voice? See, Elijah could hear God speaking, but if you read the next few verses, in the middle of his tiredness and his chaos, he doesn't hear God talking to him. God wants to give him a message, so God sends him an angel instead of his own voice. An angel actually feeds Elijah, tries to get his strength up. And over a month later, okay, we're going to fast forward in a month later, Elijah's still dealing with the exhaustion of all these events. He's hiding in a cave in a mountain. And this is the most important text for today. I want you to look at 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. Okay, this is where we learn about hearing God in the middle of chaos. And when we know God speaks, we know God's powerful, but we're tired, we're exhausted, there's too much going on. The Lord said, so now Elijah's been resting, he hears God speak, and God's going to teach him something. The Lord God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I want to read a few of these verses, a few of these sections, one at a time, because each one of these crazy situations is like how we expect God to speak to us, but it's not how God speaks. For instance, just look at verse 11, okay? God tells him to go stand out there. It says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Like there was this loud wind. Sometimes we think if God speaks to us, he's going to tear the mountains down. He's going to knock things out of our way. But the Lord was not in the wind. What's it say on the next one? Verse 11b, it says, after the wind, there was an earthquake. Sometimes we expect that if God speaks to us, if we experience God, it's going to shake us. We're going to feel it everywhere. It's going to be so clear that you couldn't deny it. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And verse 12, it says, after the earthquake came a fire. Sometimes we think, when we experience God, it's going to be hot. Like we're going to feel the presence of God, like at least inside of us, like a burning. Like I'm going to know for sure what God is saying. It's going to be so clear to me. It's going to be, I'm going to be like, it's so bright and so clear. The fire is undeniable. It's going to be obvious to me when God is trying to ask me to do something. But the Lord was not in the fire, is what it said. Now look at verses 12 and 13. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. Right? This is reverence. He is in awe. He pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" All right, God spoke. Let's write this down. God spoke to Elijah in a whisper. Now, we usually use the translation of the Bible because it was written in a different language. We use one called the NIV. There's an old version of the Bible called the King James Version that we don't use very much. It's hard to understand. It's old language. But I want you to hear this because it's a traditional way to talk about this verse in Christianity. This is the same verse we just read. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Let's write it down. God spoke to Elijah in a whisper or still small voice. That's how God speaks. Some people say, if God was real, why isn't it obvious? Why doesn't he like write it in the sky with fire? And despite all the evidences, and I mean, you can go to our radio show, truthrevolution.tv. We detail tons of philosophical evidences for God, all of these physical evidences, scientific evidences, all sorts of proof that God is real, archaeological evidences, all kinds of stuff. And people say, well, if God was real, why do we have to look at this evidence? Why doesn't God just write it in the sky with fire? Why didn't he just shoot lasers down and just shout to us loudly? Why doesn't God just say, hey, everybody, I'm right here? And the answer is because that's not the nature of who God is. God is not a screamer. Galatians chapter 5 describes the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you believe in Jesus Christ, if you become his follower, you actually get what's called the Holy Spirit working inside of you. And when you have the Holy Spirit working inside of you, he produces fruit in your life. Right? He produces this stuff in your life. And there's 9 things that Galatians 5 lists. They're love, joy. Now keep in mind, this is who God is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Listen to this one. Gentleness and self-control. People want God to shout, I'm right here. But does that sound like a God who is gentle and self-controlled? No. God speaks in a still, small voice. I like to wrestle with my kids. And when I wrestle with them, they're like, okay, Dad, we're gonna do this. I'm like, bring it on. What level do you want? Level one. Like, all right, come at me. Well, on level one, like, I let them knock me down right away. Then they're like, level five, Dad. I'm like, come on, buddy, let's bring it. And they hit me, and I kind of start wrestling them with it. But after just a few seconds, you know, they get me down. Every once in a while, one of my kids will get really brave, and they'll go, level 100. And all my other kids are like, oh! And at this point, they know they're not going to win. I say 3, 2, 1, and they take off running. I'm like, rah! Right? I go get them. I catch them. I pick them up, bring them back. I throw them on the couch. I get on them. I'm like, rah! I start hitting them, right? I'm like biting them. And the other kids jump on me, and I'm like, wah! I'm like the Incredible Hulk, right? Like, they can't stop me. What the funny about this is, even at level 100, and adults, you'll know what this is all about. Even at level 100, I'm still actually holding back. They don't necessarily know it, but I know it. I'm holding back because if I were to give them everything, they would die. They actually like it when I say that. They're like, level 100. I'm like, are you sure? Because the last kid died. They're like, what kid? I'm like, Pablo. They're like, I don't know Pablo. I'm like, I know, he died. It's true. You should come stay at my house a little while. But it's the same thing with God. If God so desired to throw one half of 1/10 of 1% of his strength at us for just a moment, it would completely wipe all of us off the map. There wouldn't even be a memory of us. Do you agree with that? God holds back when he talks to us. He whispers because he doesn't want to destroy us. He whispers like a dad who is waiting for his children to pay attention. You ever done this? Children, if you can hear me, I will buy you ice cream. Right? Children, if you're listening to me right now, clap your hands once. That sort of thing. He wants to know that you're paying attention. Let's go ahead and write this down, okay? God isn't screaming at me. He isn't going to overwhelm my free will. He could, but he's not going to overwhelm your free will. God whispers like a father who is patiently and gently waiting for his children's attention. God will not compete for your attention. You've got going on, and he's not going to try to scream over that. He will not overwhelm you. He will not run you over. I got permission to share this story. I have a friend who's a very mature Christian, and I was talking to him, this was probably about a month ago, and he was explaining how his family was dealing with a lot of deep depression, other issues, spiritual, financial, just physical, like all sorts of issues, just really weighing on him. It was just kind of a terrible time. His family was really suffering. And so those of us who are with him at the moment, instead of just, you know, doing what I often do, like, well, let's just fix it, right? Let's just go do this thing and fix it. I'm going to get you a doctor's appointment. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Let's just pray, right? So we just started praying, and I'm sitting there, and I'm quiet. And as I'm not saying anything while other people are praying, I'm just sitting there, eyes closed. It's quiet. And I see darkness. It's hard to describe, but I see darkness. And I was like, what is that, God? And I felt like this still small voice says, ask him if there's demonic or occultic stuff in his house. And I was like, he's a mature Christian. Right? He's not going to have horoscopes in his house. He's not going to have a Ouija board in his house. Like, I know he's not going to have this. I wouldn't ask someone that question. I don't go around asking that question, right? Hey, anybody got demonic stuff around? I'm just kind of curious, right? Like, I don't just walk around town asking that question. That's a weird thing to say to people. Don't you agree with that? But I'm sitting there, I'm praying, and like, it wouldn't go away. I'm like, he's a mature Christian, God. Like, he's not. And he's like, just ask. It's so quiet. But I stopped praying. I said, can I ask you a question? Do you have any occultic or demonic symbols in your house anywhere? He sighs, puts his head down, and explains that a while ago, They wanted to help someone out. So they allowed a lady to move into their house who was a pagan. She asked if she could set up a pagan shrine in the house, and they said yes. He's a mature Christian. He was trying to find a way to witness to her, but now we're going, now I see what God was saying. You see, that when I talk about a still small voice telling you stuff, God can reveal things to you that you would normally go, nope, God, you're wrong about that one. You know what I mean? Things that, I mean, do you agree with me? That was probably God talking, because like I would not have ever asked someone that question. But that still small voice was there. A nudging, a whisper. I would almost call it a feeling, but a feeling's not 100% correct to call it that. If I would have said, oh, you'll be fine, you know, we'll just take you to the doctor, we'll just get you on, you know, eating some better food, we're going to fix these problems, we'll get some exercise, like, what have I heard the still small voice? No. I mean, is there times for doctors? Yes. Is there time for exercise? Yes. Is there times for eating healthy? Yeah. There's... Yeah, right. There is time for all that sort of stuff. It's good to do, but there's also times to just sit down and be quiet and listen to God. Amen? There's times to just do that. Just, God, what do you want to tell us right now? Because God will not compete for your attention. The question is, how do you hear the still small voice? How do you hear the gentle whisper? I want you to pay attention to Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm going to read this again. Would you shout out the words conform and transformed, right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? The world, the rest of society says, oh, religion wants to conform you to what they want you to be like. And that's not true. The world wants to conform you. The world wants to tell you what to think and how to wear and what to do. And the Word of God, God himself in the church, wants to transform you. You see, when the world conforms you, it says, look this way, express yourself this way, act a certain way, whether or not that's what you're like on the inside. What God wants you to do is be transformed, which is starting on the inside, the way you think, become a different person, and eventually it'll work its way on the outside. And then if you are renewed, you can test and approve what God's will is. You do this by renewing your mind, it says. Renewing your mind. The way we renew our minds is not by watching a lot of Dr. Phil or Oprah. It's by letting the Word of God get into our hearts and our minds, asking the Holy Spirit to wake us up. We talked about this last week. Go ahead and write this down. I must engage the page. You remember that? I must engage the page when I read the Bible and let God's word renew my mind, right? When we hear God's word, when it really changes us, we start to think differently about the world. A lot of you, you know, if you're a close follower of Jesus Christ, remember back to before you were a follower of Jesus Christ. You thought this stuff was stupid. This is boring. This is dumb. These people talking about this stuff I don't understand. It's just ridiculous. And then you became a follower of Jesus and it was like, this makes sense. It was like suddenly you saw a puzzle that was put together and it was the most beautiful picture you'd ever seen. And for years before then, you wondered why people obsessed over this puzzle, because I hate puzzles. And finally, it made sense. Well, the Word of God renews your mind. Let your mind be renewed. You know, this whole series we've been doing, we're in week 6, has been all about how to hear God's voice. And all 6 of these things we're talking about are important. Remember week 1, we said, open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. If you're not paying attention to God speaking, you're not going to hear him. You got to actually believe he speaks and listen for him. The second week we said communion cultivates communication. Will you say that with me? Communion cultivates communication, right? When we have a communion, a relationship with God that gets deeper, that is what cultivates hearing God. And then week 3, we said inaction is an action. If you hear God speak and you don't do something about it, you've just taken the action of disobeying God, because inaction is an action. And when God talks to you and you ignore him, he probably will stop talking to you. So don't ignore him. Listen to him. And then for week 4, we said God speaks through patience, prayer, and people. Patience, prayer, and people. We said, don't let panic make you go manic. But instead, we learned, we memorized a Bible verse that says, wait on the Lord, be strong. Take heart and wait on the Lord, right? Just to wait. to listen to people who love Jesus, see what they're saying, because God talks through people, to pray, to listen and be quiet. Last week we talked about engage the page, like we just said there. And now you gotta do all that, but you also gotta get rid of some of the loudness in your life. Do you hear me in this? You gotta get rid of some of that, because God is not going to talk over it. That's obnoxious, right? How do you think God feels when you are ignoring him? He's like, hey, I would like to tell you something. And you're like, but Netflix, I haven't watched The Office again yet. And he's like, hey, but you got this problem. I want you to, God help me. Oh, God help. He's trying to talk to you, but your air horn's going off with your busyness, your craziness, your schedules, your whatever it is. You got some loudness in your life. You know, I got a list of loud things I want you to look at. See which one of these is yours. I need to get rid of some of the loud voices in my life to hear God speak. Fear is a loud voice. Temptation is too. So is anger, lust, and jealousy. Shame is a loud voice. Lies people told you about yourself are loud voices. Being too busy, pride, and worry are loud voices. Addiction is too. And the idea that you need to hide your sin is a loud voice. And so is entertainment. I just look through that list for a minute. Which one do you think is yours? I mean, I think about it, and I think being too busy is a loud voice that gets in my way. I know a lot of churches, the idea that you need to hide your sin is a really loud voice. You have to spend so much time pretending like you're a good person, you can't even come to know who God really is. You're so busy putting on that front. That's a loud voice in a lot of places. And entertainment, man, that's a loud voice for all of us. This world spends billions of dollars every month to try to get your attention focused on the app, the movie, the Netflix show, the screen, the music, the whatever it is. Billions of dollars to try to get your attention in entertainment and feeling good. And you will feel so good and be so distracted you won't even know it. Which of these loud voices distracts you from sitting and listening to a still small voice? God's voice is quiet, a gentle whisper. That's why you need to renew your mind. How can you get rid of these things? Well, it might help to get rid of some people in your life, because you got people in your life who are telling you lies about yourself. You got people who are tempting you with things. And some of you have known for a long time that you need to cut a certain person out of your life, but you haven't done it. You have resisted cutting a person out of your life, even though you know you have to do it. No, I'm not talking about your spouse. Yes, I'm talking about the person who's brought you temptation, or the person who's lied about you, who's brought you abuse, and you're resisting cutting them out because you're like addicted to them, and you need to get that out of there. You know, there's lots of these. We need to cut these things out.
He texted in. What if the toxic person I keep going back to is a parent? Am I not supposed to honor my father, my mother, and father? It's a good question. You know, I want you to think about what age you are. Okay, if you're an adult, you can honor your father and mother by being kind to them, not gossiping about them, and staying far away from them. You can. Honoring your father and mother doesn't mean subjecting yourself to hatred and sin. That's not what honoring your father and mother is. Now, if you're a child and your father and mother are toxic, I would suggest you talk to your youth leader here or your Kadopolis leader. Your parents might need to have a conversation with another adult. Or your parents might need a different type of consequence to help them wake up and become the people that they know they can be. Respecting and honoring your parents doesn't mean you continue to be subjected to something like that. Does the world not want us to praise God or show our interest in learning more about him? The world is very interested in whatever gets them what they want. And if you going to church gets guilt off your chest so that your boyfriend can sleep with you again, he will love the fact that you go to church. If going to church, like as far as it gets them something, they're okay with you following Jesus. But as soon as you're sacrificing your life for the truth, they don't want anything to do with it, and they're upset that you have anything to do with it too. So you do have to be careful there. Let's keep going here. Let's go back to the outline. All right, so we got these loud voices. How do you get rid of those? You got to cut some people out. But one of the most important things you need to do, I want to read you something about Jesus. Okay, y'all remember why Jesus came, right? Mark 10:45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Jesus was the most epic servant who ever lived. He came here to heal people. He did miracles. Give me a nod if you understand, right? He did miracles, right? He rose from the dead. When he came, he healed lepers. He healed blind people. He healed paralyzed people. He went to the cross knowing every wrong thing I and you have ever done. And he asked God the Father to punish him so that we wouldn't have to be punished for our sin. He took it on. He was there to serve people. But then look at Luke 5:15. It says, news about Jesus spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The Son of God comes to earth to save people, and the very people he came to save, he gets away from them so that he can spend time with God. Let's write this down. Jesus would go to lonely places, meaning he would be by himself. Nobody else was there. You want to get some of these loud voices out of your life, you need to go to a quiet place. This lonely place, the Bible is written in Greek. And that word lonely place in Greek comes from the Greek word eremos. And it could actually be translated wilderness, desert, desolate place, solitary, locked in the bathroom while your kids are outside. Not really, that's not solitary enough, is it? It's not. But Jesus would find places where nobody else was, where he was all alone. His disciples and his friends weren't even there sometimes, and this is what you and I need to do. If you want to hear the whisper of God when you're in the middle of your normal life, you have to spend quiet time with him so you know what his voice sounds like. If you don't know what his voice sounds like in quiet, you're definitely not going to hear him when all your life's going crazy. Let's write this down. I must make time alone with God in prayer and Bible reading and listening in silence. Will you say the word silence with me? And listening in silence. The more you get used to God's voice, the easier it is to hear God's voice. Although I will suggest this, for those of you who are mature Christians, we've been a Christian a long time, if you'll just give me close attention for 1 second. When you first start listening to God, it's like God says to you, "Hey, thanks for tuning in. I'd really like to talk to you right now." But after you follow God for a long time, it's like his voice gets quieter. He's like, "Hey, yes, God, what do you want? Check that out. Check what out? Check what out, God? Oh, I'm supposed to do something." Right? Like his voice gets quieter. Why is this? Now, this has been my experience. This is also the experience of people who've written books on this subject. I believe he does this because he still wants that relationship with us. And if God continued to talk like this to us the whole time, we wouldn't seek to deepen that relationship because we'd hear him so clearly already. So he speaks a little quieter. He makes us listen a little harder. If you're more mature, you got to keep pushing in and leaning in. Now, how do we hear the voice of God? Well, we talk about getting rid of loud things. We talked about Romans 12:2. I want to give you a couple really practical things. And the first one is this. Write it down. I should pay attention to recurring thoughts. Now, when I say recurring thoughts, I don't mean like, burn the post office down. Although we've all had that thought. That's not the type of recurring thought that we're listening to here. We're talking about when you have a thought that just won't go away, instead of just ignoring it or going, "Man, why do I keep thinking about this?" Stop, go to quiet time and say, "God, is that you talking to me?" When the thought that you need to forgive your dad for how he treated you just won't leave you alone, maybe you need to sit down and say, "God, are you telling me something that I've ignored?" When the thought that I need to move to China just won't go away, "God, are you telling me to go be a missionary in China?" Like these thoughts that just keep hitting you time and time again. And I don't know what it is for you, right? I could give a million examples, but when thoughts keep hitting you time and time again, you need to pay attention to that. Now, I do want to give you a little word of caution. There's no verse in the Bible that says God speaks in recurring thoughts. But when I take the whole of Scripture and my experience and the experience of the other authors that I read on this subject, this is a recurring theme that Holy Spirit will talk to us. He'll give us, hey, listen to me on this. So if you have those recurring thoughts, just sit down, be quiet, and ask God about it. Second one is this. I should pay attention to thoughts, godly thoughts, that I wouldn't normally have. Okay, you're walking along the road, minding your own business, you're in a store, and all of a sudden God's like, pray for that person in the orange shirt. Like, pray for the person in the orange shirt. We're like, I'm not an orange shirt warrior, right? I don't just walk around looking for people with orange shirts on. So you have this thought that you're like, where'd that come from? If it's a godly thought, that might be from the Holy Spirit because it sure didn't sound like you. So you need to stop for a minute and be like, God, are you trying to tell me something? You know, remember in the series I was talking about driving down the road and there's a guy with a cowboy hat and God said, turn around and go talk to him. Like, I don't normally stalk people with cowboy hats, right? But that was like a weird thing out of nowhere. So we did that. I did that. You usually don't offer to pray for strangers. You usually don't think about becoming a missionary. You usually don't think, if something that's out of the ordinary, but it's a godly thing comes in your brain, stop and ask God, are you talking to me? Someone texted in and asked, recurring thought, what if you have anxiety? Okay, I'm going to share something with you in just a second that I want you to pay very close attention to, okay? Let's write this next line down. I must always compare what I hear from God to wisdom, God's word, and my jerk friends. All right? If you hear God speaking to you, it could be God or it could be your own brain. So you compare it to wisdom. Is this a wise thing to do? If you hear God telling you to jump off a cliff, not wise, probably not God. If you hear God telling you to do something that doesn't line up with what's in God's word already, God doesn't contradict himself, so it's not from God. You have to have jerk friends, and if you don't know what those are yet, those are people who love Jesus, fear God, walk with God through their whole life, are wise, and they love you enough to tell you what you don't want to hear. Right? That's a jerk friend. And so you need to take whatever you hear from God, bring it to your jerk friends and say, this is what I thought God said. What do you think? And let them wrestle with it with you. So for that person who's asking the question about the thoughts, the recurring thoughts you have because of anxiety, I will tell you this. If you're having recurring thoughts that are based on anxiety, it is not lining up with what God's word says about you. It is not lining up with what wisdom says. And it's not lining up with what your jerk friends would say about you because they love you. You need to take those thoughts captive to Christ. Scripture says take every thought captive to Christ. So in a thought that comes in that doesn't line up with Jesus Christ, you need to take that, you need to arrest it and give it to Jesus. Right? You need to give that to Jesus instead of dwelling in that. Let me see. There's another question here. What if the lies people told me about myself have been so ingrained in me that I feel hopeless? This was sent in on another service. Did I answer that one here yet? No? Okay. I mean, my thought on this, I have three thoughts when people have told you lies so much that you feel hopeless. I have three things that I really think are important. One, you need to read the Word of God so much and so often that you hear God's Word speaking to you about you more than you hear those voices who spoke to you. That's hugely important. And when you read the Bible, if you feel ingrained with hopelessness, read the Bible to yourself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, right? Even that verse, everyone's heard it. Take that and put your name in there. For God so loved Jeff that he gave his one and only son that if Jeff believes in Jesus, that he will live and have eternal life, right? Like, put your name in there. I know that's not, it's about how God sent it for all of us, but put your name in there. Let God speak some truth to you about who you are in Jesus Christ. Second, we do growth groups. So you need to get with a small group of people who love you and will speak truth to you. There's lots of different studies about how many positive things have to be said. One of them says that you need 7 positive things for every 1 negative thing. So if you've been told a million negative things growing up, you need some group of people who are going to give you 7 million statements of truth about you over the next years to counteract some of that. I mean, people are going to be able to tell you, you're capable. You can do this. God has put the Holy Spirit in you. You can overcome this temptation and this sin, right? These people are going to speak the truth. You need those people. And then third, if it really is ingrained in you, that hopelessness, you do need a counselor. You know, God has given us skills as humans to be able to recognize therapy, how to use it, how our brain works. Get in with a counselor and really seek that. We got some great ones here at the church. All right, let's take it home, okay? This week, I will find a lonely place. I want you to put a number in there. How many times? And then you're going to practice listening to the still, small voice, because the still, small voice can be music in your ear. You can learn to love the sound of God's voice. I just want you to imagine for a moment, like, what if you could hear the voice of God as you were walking through your day? Wouldn't it be amazing if God would give you clarity about where to go and what he wants you to do? Wouldn't it be awesome if your whole family was changed? Your children, your brother, your sister, your parents was changed because you could hear God's voice speaking to you? And what could God do for you emotionally, spiritually, practically? What worries could God take off your back, and what joy could he give you? But you have to stop worrying about the next thing and just be quiet for a minute and to hear that still, small voice. Let's pray. God, I pray that you'll help us to learn the practice of listening to your gentle whisper, your still, small voice, instead of just going and going and going. I pray that we would follow through on a commitment to meet with you a certain number of times this week and listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Go listen to the still, small voice.